Blog Talk Radio.
It's always a pleasure for you guys to join me here on my actual Sunday evening show that usually takes place here at Harvest New Life Church in Harvest, New Life Seville. Most of you know this is the same channel that we have our actually testimony services on. Most of you who actually come into our services on Wednesday night, this is the same channel. But except for Thursday and Friday, we actually on our speaking program. We're going to come to you tonight and deal with the day of the resurrection and deal with the power of God. We deal with the power of prayer and free sequence. The one we've been speaking about on our early show, for those who join us on our actually Sunday service on Power to Harvest Studios here in the city of Dallas on our actually speaker.com station. But we're going to join with a couple of people that's going to be on the line with us tonight, dealing with the area of just the power of prayer. and how the power of God's word could continue to move forth and do what he's designed us to do. Won't want to delay the time, but this is going to be a 60-minute show. Got a few people that's going to be on here with me on this afternoon. It's going to be calling from around the Metroplex, but I do want you guys to know that if you're going to call into the show, there's a number you can call into, which is going to be 516-387-1220. Now, we're going to be dealing with that area that we talked about here last before we actually get into our power of the prayer line. It was dealing with comes on Tuesday night, which is called Testimony Night. Also, Wednesday night, that we're going to actually be dealing with. It was actually our regular service. Excuse me. I don't want to get my tongue tied here. But a little tired this afternoon. We had a powerful service in our meeting today at Harvest and Light Church and Harvest and Light Studios. And this is the second phase of what we're doing on tonight, dealing with the aspects of just talking about the power of God's word and the prayer. That really God doesn't really move until he actually intercedes in terms of his behalf. We know most of all when we pray for to the Lord, we pray with our respect for our relationship with the one-on-one. But we come together as an intercessional group and begin to come on all one accord. We see the power of God moves in ways that we couldn't imagine, even understand. I pray that the volume is coming clear with you guys. Been having a little interruption on the course of the show in time. But nevertheless, God is always good to do what he said he's going to do concerning that which is coming from the kingdom of God. Going to have a few callers with me tonight, as I said before. I got one guy. It's actually a part of the show each and every Tuesday night, as well as Wednesday night and Thursday night, and that's Evangelist Alan Carter. Didn't think he's probably going to be on tonight, but I did invite him to come out tonight because, you know, most of all us know Evangelist Carter from my Actually Week show that starts on Thursday. He just lost his younger brother, Stacy, and they're going to be actually having a funeral arrangements on this coming Thursday night, so I'll be stepping in again, taking the process of helping him out and keeping his service going until he actually continue to move away from this process, or God continue to touch him and help continue to heal that family in this bereavement time that they're going through with the land where their brother. I want to make sure I get him in here and make sure he's on the line with us. Always good for you to have us, Evangelist Carter, to be with us. You know, we always continue to keep praying on behalf of your brother. And some of the things, and it's just always a pleasure to have you with us on this afternoon. I don't know if I'm coming through clear. I'm coming through pretty clear on you because I'm having a little discrepancy with something, giving me some signs here. I wonder if you hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
God bless you, man. You know, we had talked.
Thank you.
Just want to give just a little schedules here. Gonna hold Evangelist Carter. Gonna kind of hold him off the mic here for a minute. Want to address you guys on some things concerning some of the stuff we got coming up here at Harvest and Light Church and Harvest and Light Studios. On actually Wednesday night, we involved you coming to the show. It's going to our Spreaker program, and that's going to be Spreaker. And that's actually going to be on Spreaker.com. And when you go to that particular channel, you want to go into the search bar, you want to put in Charles Ellis. And I'll bring it to one of the shows that I have, several shows I have both here in the States and nationwide and worldwide, and that we have here at Harvest Night Church and Harvest Night Studios. And that'll bring you into actually the program that we have here in the States. We've been going since 2014 during this course of this study. And most of you want to come and visit the service, you can actually look up my website, which is harvestnewlifechurch.com. And at the same time, I don't want to flood you with too much information here, but I want you to go to the website and look at that information. Also, the man of God that's on this line with us now is Evangelist Alan Carter out of Alpharetta, Georgia. He's with us on tonight, and we just going to be dealing with the process of dealing with the power of prayer and not trying to really kick up any kind of negativity in terms of what it is going on out here today. But we are really in need in prayer as a country, as a people, and come together as whole. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about the process of dealing with prayer and how the power of prayer changes. It transforms, it convicts, it arrests. It's got the power to shut down every negative thing in your life. It's not like God. I believe in a man of God and a woman ought to intercede on behalf of Christ. And I'm just praying in terms of just saying something. I believe God's hands begin to move in such ways that we never thought he could imagine, what we never thought imagine he could think of. So we want to be able to know that. We're going to be over here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and we're going to be dealing with some areas of just breaking down some of the micros of these particular scriptures and just talking about the process of how God really moves on the behalf of us as men and women of God, but we really seek him first, according to Matthew 6 and 33, and all he has in plan for us. We're going to bring the evangelist back in with us. We're going to just float over here. And Evangelist Carter, I just want to bring you back into the studio and get the announcements out the way. So that once again, for those who are going to be calling into the actual program on tonight, 6387-1220, and we're going to go over here right away and go to the scripture Now, for those who call any questions or answers about whatever it is maybe going on in your life, circumstances, situations, doesn't matter, proclivities, orange clones, ditches. And we all got some things that's going on in our life in terms of we constantly need God on a daily basis to continue to move us through. You know, the old mammon is what he gave us the day before. Now we're living in the new mammon. In other words, that he said, you pray to me and I'll give you fresh mammon. You know, so we can't live on the old. We got to live on the new. So God gives us opportunities. We raise up in the morning. The bottom line needs to say, Father, you know, we thank you for the opportunity of rising us up this morning, have the blood still and run the warm in our veins. We ask for the fresh manna for the day. You know, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, let the kingdom come. We're talking about the will of God in our life, that even when we go out in the very busy, dangerous highways, we're asking God to protect us and keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger to see how the ability to try to come against us. I want to look over here at, again, as I said, on a go to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to be kind of jumping back and forth to the Amplified Version. I'm going to look at some things over here at Philippians as well, but we want to get some good sound teaching on tonight, dealing with that area of the book of Ephesians. And we're going to start over here just dealing with the process of, look at the sixth verse of Ephesians 6 and 6. Now, I'm going to look at Ephesians 6 and 6 real close here, and I'm going to just kind of rule out some things in terms of how we are as men and women of God when our prayers are not answered. You know, the Word of God speaks also, we're going to get into about the book of Galatians, how these different things that's in our life, I call them stumbling blocks, orange cones, proclivities, circumstances and situations. In other words, not being transparent to the point that we can really get a prayer through to God because we've got some things that continue to block us in our private life. That God is declaring that we continue to pray to him in private, and we go in the house, we go in the closet, we shut the door, and we begin to pray to him in private, not necessarily pointing a finger back at anybody else, trying to see what's going on in their life, but try to get ourselves light, that we be an example to the people as we walk forward as being man and woman of God. The Word of God talks about over here in the book of Ephesians, and we look at Ephesians 6, and let's look at that real close here. We're going to go through a couple of volumes of the Bible dealing with the area of this scripture here and just trying to advance back and forth. The Word of God says that not with eye service, as men pleasers. You know, let's think about that, not just read through the whole scripture. Let's go through the whole scripture, just the first six, and see what it said. It's not being not as with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will. Let's look at that thing, the will of God. From the heart. Now we know in the will of God is life. Out of the will of God is death. Now, the Word of God says that there's a process when we read about the model prayer. We talk about our Father who are in heaven, and you can use it on any occasions. Some people say it's outdated, but I can use it for anything I need to do when I'm going through because it covers a lot in your life. He said, for our Father who are in heaven, you know, let our will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're in the Father's will. We're walking according to the purpose and the power of what he commanded us to do. As when we were born into the world, and walking in through the gift that he's given us, that we may be a help to the body of Christ. Paul talks about a little bit over in the book of Ephesians 4 about how he talks about the different variations of the very body of Christ in terms of how he put people in position to be able to govern the ministry in such a way that they'd be helpful to one another. Matter of fact, we talk about the apostle, and we talk about Ephesians chapter 4. Let's kind of jump over there when I want to get outside to what I'm speaking about here, but I want to stay with Ephesians 6. But he talks about over in the book of Ephesians 4 and 11, he talks about he's given some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors. And he talks about and some teachers. Now, when it means they put a perfecting, excuse me, got my tongue tied there. Yeah, stay with me here. Put a perfecting of the saints. Who is the saints? Not just prisoners in the body of Christ, everybody who's been given a gift according to the word of God. That walks according to the Ephesians, what we say, Ephesians 6 and 10. Now, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Now, you got to catch to understand what I'm saying here, that the fivefold is designed to be able to move with everybody operating sufficiently. Now, we're going to get into the book of area. We'll go back to Ephesians chapter 6, but I want to state something right here when we talk about Ephesians 4. And Paul gives that very illustration about he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Now, the word he used is about when you come together, everything hitting on all cylinders, it perfects, meaning everybody's on one accord. You know, the word talks about in the book of Psalms 133, how good is it for men to dwell together in unity. Unity is one of the greatest things that we can have in the body of Christ. We come together all collectively and know that power of God, when we pray and intercede with one another, we begin to move the hand of God. When we start talking about dealing with the days of Elijah, we talk about coming together and watch signs, wonders, and miracles be the move in the season which we're in. And sometimes we got to think about the process. We're going to the church, we just have an everyday service. We get oral talk or performance and feelings. And churches sometimes become just a place of just entertainment. But we got to be able to understand that the church has got to be designed to move in the power of what God designed it to be. And the designing of it, what the church is designed to be, is to show the people the demonstration of what the power of God when it moves. When we as men and women of God begin to pray, we begin to intercede on the behalf of Christ, and we begin to declare the word in such a way that it's undeniable, and then we begin to condition the atmosphere with our prayers and interceding toward God, signs, wonders, and miracles begin to move. As the word go forth, I declare by the word of God, it will begin to move in the lives of every individual. Whatever's on your heart, whatever you're dealing with, whatever circumstance you're going through, you let God know according to what's going on in life, he will show you, and it's worth more than you can imagine or think of. Now, we got a little stagnant in the background. I'll make sure we got that kind of clear here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull this thing out here for a minute. I know I got evangelist card on here. I'm going to kind of push it on hold for a minute because I don't want a disruption in terms of this service, and I'm going to bring him in here to continue to speak on this particular area that we're talking about. Now, we talk about the perfecting of the body of Christ, dealing with the process of how we got to arm ourselves with the very protection that Christ has given us. Now, we look at the process on the other end. We look at the 1 Corinthians. Talk about 1 Corinthians is dealing with the process of not getting out of the book of Ephesians. We talk about the process where the Word of God talks about the process about the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, this is Ephesians, the book 1 Corinthians, in chapter 12, and it talks about that 12 and 7, about the manifestation of the Spirit. It's given to each and every one that we were proper with all. When we think about the process, how God said we were proper with all, it's not in terms of language and who you are as being an individual. For us coming together whole collectively, know that the work that we're doing is all through one Spirit, that we as a team, as we carry the logos, you look at the NFL, there are multiple teams in the NFL, but everybody's under the same logo. And everybody's running in the NFL. It's not the your FL or UFL. It's the NFL. And whatever team that you're on, if that's what you got to be able to walk upon in terms of representing that particular area of the NFL, whether it be the North Division or whether it be the East Division, it's all under the NFL, separate entities. We all do the same things. But as teams, we come together to be as one, to understand and realize that God's got a plan for each and every one of our lives. I want to bring Evangelist Carter in here just a minute and let him kind of just elaborate on some things, and want to let him kind of just fulfill some of the work that we just talked about in terms of the book of Ephesians, and let him say what he feel in terms of what we speak about on tonight. Evangelist?
Yes, sir. How you doing? Yes, sir. How you doing?
You will be live.
Yes. How's everyone? To God be the glory. Well, I thank God that everything I'm hearing and the truth. And I just, thank God, to be able to understand and to know what's being said and how you can take it and proceed it, with your own self. So I just thank God. So, Pastor, you're doing a wonderful job teaching it. You're teaching where we can reach it, and understand it.
Well, as I said before, Evangelist, it's not so much that, what I teach is what the Word of God is speaking in terms of what he speaks to me. I just want to be the conduit. Now, when we talk about this, and I want to, want to make sure we get good clarity on what we're speaking about here. We're talking about the power of prayer. We're talking about God spiritually. That we come together collectively. See, when a team comes together, I don't know how many people have played collegiate sports or played NFL sports or whatever it may be, it's on them, but I'm trying to say we come together as a body. The body is a form of fashion. They come together to perform the duty, to move in one direction. When I reach my arm to the left, I reach to the left because it's functioned by the brain that gives a signal to what it's supposed to do. This is what his body is supposed to be in terms of the body of Christ. Now, we talk about the separating. We talk about the process of how the body becomes dysfunctional. When you talk about this, about the division in the ranks or dissension in the ranks, is when people continue to come into the body of Christ and they want to do things their way. Now, the Word of God tells us, according to the book of Jeremiah, that before we were born, before it was created, before we were designed and engineered, we gave each and every one a gift. Not to go outside the body of Christ, but everything is through the process of the same self-spirit. Let's take an example of that and look at some things here in the Word of God. And I want to come down here. I'm going to kind of pull you back here a minute. I'm going to get a stagger in the line here. I'm going to pull back in here a minute. I want to look over here in the book of Ephesians once again. And I want to see something. Now, we're talking about the power of prayer. But first, before you even move forth in anything, you got to know how to have unity on a team. You got to have unity. You got to be unified. to be able to move forth in anything you do, corporation, business, whatever it may be. It's got to have the same structure, and it's got to be handed down from the top to the bottom. This is how the Word of God is. You know, He deals with us as being men of God. The gift first comes from Him, not from any man, not from any woman, not from anybody, but through God. If a woman calls in position to be in a prophet, if a man calls in position to be in that, what he said is being the body of Christ, then he will recognize that God got the first entity of dealing with what He called His person to be, because He created them, He designed them, and whatever He put in them, man can't put it in them. Now I'm just kind of bounce back here a little bit. I want to get off course here, but I want to look at something over in the area where Paul talks about some things in the book of Corinthians, and over in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, he gives some terms of possible, he gives some really strong information in terms of, I think, dealing with the very area of education in terms of how Word of God, His Word is acknowledged first in everything we do in our life. And I think it's in the book of 1 Corinthians, over there in that eighth verse, he said, which none of the princes of this world knew. Now he's not saying that we all, as men and women of God, the princes of this world, which he's talking about, the enemy of this world, because this is his world, but God is creator over him. We know that from according to Job. He controls Satan. But if we give in to Satan with the numbness of our heart and the numbness of our mind, we can't be creative in having the dominion he's given us in Genesis 1-6 over the very adversary. So he said there's things that he's given and that the prince of this world, even he didn't even know. So God said he'd give us hidden wisdom. Wisdom is not known to man. For we look at the book of Corinthians, he said, was none of the princes of this world. Who was the prince? The thing who come to steal the vision that God has given us in terms of walking up and down and doing everything God has called us to do as being the representatives of the kingdom of God. God said they didn't know, because God got something so more powerful for us that we can't even imagine or think of. That's why he says in the ninth verse, for it is written that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Well, what is he saying? The gift I gave you is really more than what you can see. It supersedes far beyond any man's imagination. He goes on and talks about, just kind of paraphrasing through these particular scriptures. Don't want to paraphrase when I read it for some of the listeners out there who sometimes you get a little stagnant in terms of your understanding, but want to let you know here. But it is written that eyes have not seen, ears have heard, neither have entered into the hearts of any man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, first got to have love. We're talking about unity, having a one-on-one relationship with Christ. Before you even look about why they're trying to move anywhere forward, Christ, you got to have a first relationship with Him. Now, the Word of God talks in the book of Galatians, they talk about how the suffering that Christ had to go through in terms of us having some of the things, when I say the suffering, I'm not talking about in terms of what He done on the cross, but some of the things we suffered through as a man and woman of God. What am I saying? Some of the things we suffered through as man and woman of God. Let's look over in the book of Galatians, but we're going to come back to Corinthians, because I don't want to just keep quoting all this off the top of my head, because I know I can do it, but I want to make sure we get solid information in terms of what's in. Let's look at the book of Galatians here for a second, and I'm going to go to the book of Galatians. I'm going to talk about some of the proclivities we all deal with in life in terms of what the Word of God has said, and what the Word of God is trying to do, and what the Word of God is trying to do through us as men and women of God. He's trying to get all the hidden agendas out of our life. Galatians talks about it in Galatians 5. He talks about the hidden things in each and every one of our lives. Remember, Romans does tells us that there's not one right. There's not one right, none right. He said none is righteous. All have strayed away. He tells on the process of Romans 3:23, he said, we all fall short. Well, what do we all fall short on? Well, Galatians kind of gives a little illustration that over in Galatians 6:9. It's got Galatians 6 and 5 and 6. Looking at 5 and 6 here, it talks about that. Let me see here. When I'm at 5 and 16, I want to make sure I get there right. If I say walk in the Spirit, you not feel the lust of the flesh, for the lust of the Spirit against the flesh, and the Spirit against the flesh. For they are contrary, that one of these should not do the things that they can, or that they would. Now, we're reading from the King James Version, but it says on the 18th verse, but if you're led of the spirit, you're not under what? The law. What is the law? He talked about over in the book of Corinthians once again. Neither none of the princes. If you're a man of God and walk with Christ, he can't discern the hidden things that God has in store for you. His job is to try to manipulate you to make you believe and counteract the goodness God has given you before the foundation of the world. What is he giving you for the foundation of the world? He's giving you power. What is the power, domain, authority, total supremacy over everything that the enemy throws at you? But you got to understand what it says over here in the book of Galatians. In contrary, and walking with the power of God in your life, to know that God said, according to Psalms 84:11, no good thing will hold from those who walk upright. And what Pastor Ellis is not saying in jumble here, he's trying to get you to see something here, that you can't receive what Christ has in store for you if you're not walking in a spiritual walk. He says, once again, in Galatians 16, I say then, walk in the spirit, that you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I ain't got to talk about the lust of the flesh, because we're going to go back to the book of Ephesians and find out what the end of the book of Ephesians says about us, how we all once walked through the course of the world. Matter of fact, we're looking at Ephesians 2. He said, we all was out there once before. We all walked according to this thing that we call the flesh. We all fell short. You know, when Ephesians makes that very clear about us, we all once walked outside the will of God. All of us went astray at one point in time. In the area of what he talks about in the book of Romans. And some of us are still astray. That's why we can't never point our fingers at anybody and say that they're this, they're that. Because all of us got something that we deal with in our lives in terms of how we should walk as being men and women of God. Now I'm trying to throw no rocks here at anybody, but I got to throw rocks at myself because I was one of those people that's over in Ephesians. And so was everybody else is out here. And say that men and women of God, according to them, nobody's perfect. And one perfect person was Jesus Christ. He rose up early this morning and proved that he was the only immaculate conception. He was the new Adam that came on the scene. The word of God declared, according to Isaiah 53, that he was wounded for our transgression. We said he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. So it was all a past tense thing that he already done before he even went to the cross, preparing the team, the time with his team. He sent the disciples out before him. They made to go to the process and prepare what he had to prepare, the Passover, the eating the Last Supper. And for his going into the Garden of Gethsemane, when all the ones who showed up with him began to run off on him. And then they came to the point that now he's going away, coming before the high priest Cephas. He began to slay him, beat, slap, and kick, or whatever, come before governor, Pontius Pilate. And Pilate began to hand him over back over to the people of what we call the Sanhedrin Council. That I look at it in terms of those ones who hated him. He said, if you don't, I find no fault in him. But it's amazing how people find fault in you but don't find fault in themselves. And Ephesians really talks a whole lot about the process fault that's in everybody. The Bible says over in Ephesians 2, he said, who you were quick and who were dead in your trespasses. Said, all of us. Goes back to Romans, that 10 through 11, 3 to 12. We can reel them down through there, and then we come back and deal with the process of Romans 3 and 23. You know, we all fall short, but Ephesians sums it up that we will all once walk the course of the world. He said, "You are quickened with your trespass. When in past times you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit, then I work it in the children of disobedience." I'm trying to get you to see something here. There's not one that's right, but we all got to come together collectively to help each and every one in the body of Christ that now one of us are perfect, that we're all seeking to go to the same location. We're all going to go to the same location. I heard the man of God speak something, evangelist, over in the area of Victory Outreach by the name of Jesse Perez over there at Victory Outreach in the city of Dallas. He said something very interesting. He said, you know, everybody goes in the same size hole. Nobody hole is no bigger than anybody else's hole. It's only room for one soul. And that's your soul. The Bible declares and decreed that when you were born, you was dirt of the earth. You were just, you know, you wasn't living. You wasn't a living soul yet. According to the book of Corinthians, when he blew breath in, you became a living soul. So when we leave here, we go back to the dust in which we come from. But understand that our spirit goes on to live with the Lord, waiting that judgment seat into the time that God comes back together, all his righteousness from the four winds of the corners of the earth. Now, I got to do something here that I go back to the book of Ephesians. I want to bounce back on here because I want to make some clarity what I'm saying. We all had suffering in our bodies. We all had the opportunities every morning we get up to get fresh manna from the kingdom of God. And knowing that in our life and we're living is not right unto God, but we got to understand and realize we got to come to him in prayer. The word of God says the first thing we need to do is understand how to put on the whole arm of God, that we will withstand the wiles of the devil. Because the word of God said we fight not against what? Flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness that in high places. Those things come in us. The book of Galatians says in 5:16, he said, walk there in that. Walk in the spirit, that you not fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh. Now, let me say something. Let's keep the book of Ephesians chapter 2 in mind, but go right back to the book of Galatians. Let's flip to the book of Galatians and see some of the proclivities that all of us deal with in our lives as being normal men and women of God who walk in the same what I call suit that we have, that we all come through obstruction. We all come through different torments and trials in our life. Temptation is always going to be there. But remember, Christ died on the cross. He's always waiting with open arms to take us back into his arms whenever we mess up. If we repent, you know, if we really just repent to Christ and ask him to help us in our shortcomings, he will do that. Because the word of God said he looked past before our sins. Before we were born, he looked beyond our sins and saw the things that we would have to deal with in the course of life in which we was walking. But the book of Galatians talks about some of the things that we deal with as being man and woman of God. And I dare anybody on the line to raise their hand and say they ain't got it, because the devil is a liar. And I'm going to prove to you that we all deal with different things in our life. The word of God says in the book of Galatians 5 and 16, therefore the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, that one would do with the one to another, so that they could not do the things that they would. But notice what he said, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifested. Let's keep Ephesians 2 in mind. But we're going to break the power of God in the book of Ephesians 6. And we're going to go back and forth. And we're going to see how you get your breakthrough in the body of Christ, how God has commanded you to be able to have everything he desired for you to have before the foundation of the world. Remember what he said, if you seek ye first the kingdom and all of his righteousness. Well, this is a code to break the unrighteousness that's in your life. While you study pointing your little crooked finger at somebody else, you need to point it back at yourself. Because all of us need enough time that we got to work out our own soul and salvation. To the point we all messed up and tore up on the floor, and we all need to check up from the neck up. But notice what he says over here once again. He said, but if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under what? The law. Talk about the prince of this world. He said in the book of Corinthians, for the prince of this world, he didn't know the things that God has in store for us. Why? He says in the 1 Corinthians 2 and 8, because if he knew, he had a way to try to demise or demolish what Christ has in store for us. When God gave us the gift in our life, it was a secret gift that we go into him. He will lead us and show us how we need to use the gift for the harvest that's in place. Now Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, for only he knows the thoughts and the plans that he got for us. He didn't say Satan knows anything. But what Satan does, he throws these trips at you because you're still in the flesh. There are things you still fighting in the flesh. As long as you live in, you're fighting some stuff in the flesh. The word of God talks about the process over in the book of Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifested. He said they're manifested. They're working every day in me and you all day long. This is why we got to constantly pray. And we're going to get back to the book of Ephesians. We're going to find out about Ephesians 6 and 10 and what he's saying about that. But notice what he says in Galatians once again. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, illuminations, wrath, strife, seduction, heresy, envy. Look at all these things that we all got in us. It ain't nobody on this line can tell me that they ain't got nothing. You say you're perfect, then the Lord don't hit them with the light then. Because everybody's dealing with something. Now, let me say something. I say this once again about Pastor Pearson over there at Mount Olive Church of Terrell. He's always said, this is one of the quotes I think he always said. He said, the more we come closer to Christ, the more we come sinless. Now, we're not going to be completely delivered from sin, but the more we come closer to Christ, the more we come more sinless. Because as an athlete trains, the better he gets. He comes from his shortcomings to come to what he better. I didn't see no man come into the NFL or pro baseball, or basketball, whatever, and develop overnight and be an all pro or go to the Hall of Fame overnight. There's times and trials you got to go through, the injuries, situations, circumstances in his life that he got to get to the point that he can be nominated as being that particular person who ranks among the best of, but not totally the best, because all records are designed to be broke. The same thing Christ says in our life. As we continue to walk toward Christ, we become more sinless. We never complete up everything until we get that perfect body that he designed for us to have when we go in that one hole that Pastor Jesse talks about. It's only one hole for us to have, that the body's committed to the earth and we go, our soul goes to Christ. And that's when we begin to get ourselves in position that we will line up with Christ and knowing that he's got a perfect will and plan for us according to how we live our life here on earth. If we represent the kingdom of God the way we should, and the harvest is truly great and labors are few, then that's what we're supposed to do as being man and woman of God. Now, I don't care who's out there. You're more welcome to interject on this particular service, but don't come in with no foolishness about what's going on. Now, the number here to call in is 516-387-1220. Now, we're in collaboration of what we're doing here on this line. We ain't coming against, we ain't going no fly-by-night stuff. We ain't doing no outside drama that's going on here. We want to know that we all deal with something in our life, and as we continue to get mentorship in our life and going toward what God calls us to do and the plan for life, we will continue to succeed, but not being totally free. of the sins in our life because we're yet still fighting things in the flesh. Because Galatians tells us these things are yet still evidence in our life. Let me think of something here over in the Amplified version. As I said, that Dr. J.C. Matthews at the J.C. Matthews Ministries out in Fort Worth told me, dealing with some of the things I'm talking about right now. He said something over here, and I'll read it from the Amplified version, dealing with that area of the book of Galatians, starting at that 20th verse. And he said it like this in the 20th verse. I want to make sure I get there, and I'm going to be able to bring this to you correctly the way as I should. He said, the practice of the sinful nature is clearly evident. We all understand it. As long as we're in the world, there are some things that are going to come against us. There are some proclivities that we're going to deal with. There are some subverts that we're going to deal with. Nobody's perfect. I don't care you bishop, prophet, apostle, whoever you are. You still dealing with stuff. I ain't saying you're down in the dirt the way you used to be, but you're still battling with things. You're trusting God to bring you out of whatever it is that you're in. Because if you didn't need Christ, you wouldn't be going through nothing. If you don't go through nothing, then you're perfect. Now, he said the natures are clear, that the evidence of sexual immorality, impurity, sinfulness, or dealing with total irresponsibility, lack of self-control, you know, adultery, sacrilege, you know, haughtiness, strife, jealousy, fits, and we all deal with that. And we see that in the body of Christ among the best. You know, we see leaders, sometimes the best of leaders, fighting among leaders. And so we ought to understand and realize just because you look good from a physical standpoint of view with the big arenas, the big church, doesn't mean that you don't go through stuff. Because, I mean, I go nationwide on stuff, and I do everything that I can to do to keep myself in the position of being a man or woman of God. But you're going to deal with some things in your life. But the Bible says take all to God in prayer. But it's not that the prayer you do one time. You got to constantly pray in prayer to believe that God is going to continue to bring you away from that very strife or addiction that's in your life, that you may continue to be the forerunner for the kingdom of God as an example. The word of God said, not with our service, not with our service, it's that you work out your own soul and salvation, that you have other young people to come up under you and realize that the work that you're doing in Christ, that they can be there also. You know, God is kind of not robbing you just like Christ. He don't want you to, he's not going to be perfect like him, but try to come close as you can to be like him and get yourself around people who can help you when you're going through these dying trials in your life. Am I in there with anybody? But how do we get there, Lord? How do we get there, Pastor Ellis? What are the things I deal with in my life that I continue to keep coming short on? Well, the word of God says, first, you got to get you the good team. You got to be around good people that really want to pray and to help you in where you're going. And if you ain't got a good team around you, it's going to be hard for you to move. Paul begins to speak about the process when the Lord talked against Paul and the Lord of Damascus. Look, Paul, you can't keep on coming and kicking against these pricks. You can't keep doing this in the name of Jesus. You can't keep fighting and kicking against these pricks, Paul. There's come a time that I'm going to have to deal with you on this Damascus run because you're coming against my people. And there's no way you're going to win against me. But what I'm going to call you to do, I'm going to make you fall. I'm going to knock you up off that beast. When I knock you up off the beast, I'm going to give you a revelation that's going to supersede far beyond more than you can imagine even understand, that you're going to be able to write half of the Bible with the revelation I'm going to give you. Because the word of God goes back to the book of Ephesians. We all got the apostle spirit in us ready to move forward. We all want to be like champions in the ministry. We don't want to tailgate off of anybody else, but we want to ask God that whatever gift he has in us, let me play my position the best that I can. And if I'm going to be a part of your team, Father God, let me be able to play my role that I need to play it. I don't need to be in a click, club, game status or position to be able to do the work you call me to do. All I want to do is be proficient in what I'm doing and do the will that you call me to do. Now, when we go back to the book of Ephesians, we're going to look at the book of Ephesians. I want to show you something here in the book of Ephesians. If we go back to how do we get out of these things? How do we get out of these devilish things that continue to keep coming at us? We're never going to get really rid of them, but how are we going to continue to deal with these things that we deal on a daily basis? Because they're going to come at you every day. Paul gives a very good example over here. We go to Ephesians 6 and 17. Let's go to Ephesians 6 and 17. He said, take the helmet of salvation. Now, whenever a person goes into battle, and I got Evangelist Carter on the line with me, and I want to bring him back in here because I want him to hear what he's saying. I know he got something to say. Me and him were both athletes back in our days, and we still kind of move in the area. God bless us with our strength and health. But we played ball side by side. I did my collegiate ball here in the state of Texas. Did some pro NFL trials. But, you know, you got to understand one thing. The minute you step on the field, Evangelist Carter, the first thing we put on, the last thing we put on is our helmet. That's the last thing we put on. That's the last thing we put on the head is our helmet. Because when a man goes and battles up for garment, we first put our undergarment on. They call it, you know, all your undergarment. You put on the different thing, get your knees, you get your knees taped, whatever you need to tape. You get your ankles taped, whatever you need to tape. You get your shoulder pads in position. You get all these things. And before we take the pill, what is the last thing we get on before we, what is the last thing we put on our head before we take the pill, Evangelist?
The helmet. Head protection.
The helmet of protection. The Bible said, take the helmet of salvation. Mm-hmm. The helmet of salvation. If you got a damaged brain, that's just why this thing coming through the NFL now. That they declared hits they've been taking, it's caused these men to be dysfunctional in their lifestyle. They didn't want to admit that it will always has been there. Now, notice what it says in the book of Ephesians. He said, instructions about the armor is that the helmet is the salvation, it's the sword of the Spirit. Now, notice that. Which the word of God, which the soldiers, in the midst of the battle, the helmet is the last piece they'll put on their head. Because if you ain't got, you know what I'm talking about, chop the head off and the body would die. You know, old people talking about when these snakes come around and chop the head off the serpent. And when he don't know where to strike, if he ain't got nowhere to go, the first thing you got to do is the word of God to carry the sword. And then the protection comes back against you, you got to put on your helmet. This is what it talks about in the book of Galatians. All these things that come at you, these heresies, these strifes, these are things that the enemy throw back at you. And if you're not mentally strong with the kind of helmet you need, not a physical helmet, but a spiritual helmet, they'll get in your head. They'll cause you to walk with Christ. Come on, Evangelist. Can you talk to us for a second?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, you know, when we play football, you have to have your helmet on to keep the from having them head injuries. And if you didn't have that helmet on, if you got hit, and that helmet came off, your head hit that ground, or you can be head damaged. Amen?
Amen. Well, concussions is another word to say head damage, concussion. But notice what it's on the recent. I want to read something here from something I've been studying on. That's about the answer to the Ephesians 6 and 17. Instructions used to put on the armor of God.
Of God,
the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Let's slow down through here. Sword of the Spirit. For those who want to call in, participate in this, you're more than welcome. The area code is 516-7-1220. Once again, 516-387-1220. Just on the arm of God and the helmet of salvation. You got to have your mind right. Romans tells us that. I've seen the verses of God. That you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and
acceptable. Mm-hmm.
That's just the will of God. But notice what it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You got to have the word of God in you. I'm going to pull you out of the second, man, just because we're getting this line. We're going to pull you back for a second. Which is a sword of the Spirit. I want to lose my concentration here. And it says, when a soldier suits up for battle, the helmet was the last piece of armor to go on. It was a final act of readiness. You know, I'm prepared now. You can put on all the things you got. Ephesians says, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God. Now, I mean, the Romans says, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God. Romans 12, by the mercies of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice. Okay, I know your body's a living sacrifice, but he said that your mind has got to be renewed as well. Now, that's Romans 1. So I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. But he then goes to Romans chapter 2. He said, look, get your mind right. If you're going to walk in this right with Christ, there are some hits you're going to take. There are some concussions going to come at you. What are some of the concussions and things we deal with? We just talked about it over in the book of Galatians. All these things of strife, addiction, all these unsacred things that kind of come at us is always waving in our face. You know, they always got people throwing rocks at you, throwing stones at you. But if your helmet is protection, and stones ain't got to be physical stones. Sometimes the demon can hurl rocks at you through the tongue of an individual. No matter what God talks about in the book of Proverbs, that life and death is in the power of your mouth. It's your tongue. And those who speak those things, they love to eat the fruit thereof. But the Bible says over in the book of Galatians, but if you're not under the law, then you're not a part of that particular spirit that come at you. So you ain't got to be under that law when you're subjecting the people, saying things about you, putting you down, making you feel bad, that you got to be continue to walk. You got to walk with your walk with Christ and knowing that you're protected as you walk through what seems to be the shadows of the valley of death. Now Psalms talks about that. You know, fret not ourselves because of evildoers. Not envy those for the workers of iniquity, because they're always going to shoot things at you and make you feel other than what Christ has said. I don't know where you are this afternoon. I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to understand something. The line, that's a prayer ministry. We're praying all the time. We see signs, wonders, and miracles. For those who need prayer, the line is open. I mean, it's open for you to receive whatever it is that you need. Now, if you don't need prayer, then fine. As a man of God tells me, more prayer, more power. I'm always going to need prayer. And I'm declaring by the word of God that you wake up in the morning, sometimes you don't know what to do. But you got to believe that God's got a plan that supersedes far beyond more than you can imagine. You can help. Prayer. If you need prayer, the number is 516-387-1220. If not, then it's not available to you. But we're going to continue to pray for those who need prayer. Amen. Carla, we want you to be on the line. We want you to close us out in a prayer just for the nation of the people, for those who didn't have the opportunity to call in and say anything, because we know they all need prayer. We all need prayer. You know, especially on this particular special day that Christ is now risen. He's all standing in behalf of the midst of every one of our sins, that we all need prayer. And I ask you to need to pray for this ministry as we continue to go forward. And we pray for you. Your term time of your brother and going on to be with the kingdom of God. I know it's a difficult time for you and the family, but we trust that you being men of faith, that God's got a plan. It really moves beyond what we can think and imagine. Man of God, if you don't mind, if you can just pray for the people, pray for the mind and the heart. That God continue.
Amen. Will do. Good evening, our Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, Lord Jesus. As we come to you right now, Lord, oh Lord, on this prayer line, Lord Jesus, your word has went forward, Lord Jesus, and Lord Jesus, let it search the hearts, Lord Jesus. Those are on the prayer line and nationwide, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, right now, Lord, you said in your word is power in prayer, Lord. Prayer changes things, people perseverance, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to your wonderful and magnificent name. Oh, Lord, we thank you on this Easter day, Lord, another Easter day that we never ever seen before, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And, oh, Lord, we thank you right now for what you're doing, what you're getting ready to do. We ask that you show up and show out, Lord Jesus, in the situation on the prayer line, the people that didn't come on, the people that's listening by radio, Lord Jesus. And, oh, Lord, right now, somebody, Lord Jesus, is dealing with some challenges, Lord Jesus. Somebody, Lord, needs you. Their hearts, Lord Jesus, to turn things around, Lord Jesus, that they didn't believe could happen. You could turn the possible, impossible to the possible, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you right now. Hallelujah. Oh God, Lord Jesus, bless Jesus. My family, Lord Jesus, in this hour of breath of my younger baby brother, Lord Jesus, who went on to be with you on March the 23rd, Lord Jesus. Lord, give our family strength, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, bless us through these trying times. And, oh, Lord, man can't do it, woman can't do it, boy, girl, but our Father, which is what? In heaven. The only one, Lord, who can see us through this, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to your wonderful, magnificent name, Lord. A name above all names, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And, Lord Jesus, we decree and declare peace, Lord Jesus, in this matter, in this situation that we are going through. And, Lord, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless, Lord Jesus, right now. Somebody got a sickness right now, but, Lord, I decree and declare that, Lord Jesus, you heal them right now. Somebody need a financial breakthrough right now, Lord. And, Lord, only you can bless it, Jesus. Lord Jesus, Oh, Lord, help right now, Holy Ghost. Do it for your kingdom, Lord. And, Lord, bless Pastor Ellis and his family, Lord Jesus. Give them strength in their bodies, Lord Jesus. Bless his mother, Lord Jesus.
Oh, God, Lord Jesus, you still got to work for her to do Mother Ellis, Lord Jesus. Touch her right now from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, Lord Jesus. Do it for your kingdom, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And bless co-pastor's mother. Give her strength in her body, Lord Jesus. Right now, Lord, you're already there. Orchestrated right now, Lord. You can go where no man can go. You can touch where no man can touch, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I thank you, Lord. Right now, Lord, we want to see the hands of the Lord moving. We want to see the manifestation, Lord. You want people to say, hey, I am here. The Lord has touched me. There was power in prayer. Whoever that man was on the line, the evangelist was on the line, he prayed, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, you can pay the bills, Lord, for him already, Lord Jesus. We thank you for blessing the business. We thank you for blessing their jobs, Lord Jesus. In the mighty maximum name of Jesus, bless their household, decree and declare, Lord Jesus. No resurrection of their zip code or nothing will set them back, Lord Jesus. In the mighty maximum name of Jesus, give them peace on their job. Give them favor with the managers or the supervisors, Lord Jesus. The CEOs of the company, Lord Jesus. Favor. Favor, Lord Jesus. They say favor ain't fair, but favor is fair when you're living right for the Lord. In the mighty maximum name of Jesus of Nazareth, we thank you right now. Oh, Lord Jesus. And Lord, people that's coming from Michigan down to my brother's home, going, Lord, bless my aunts, uncles, cousins, all of them across the dangerous highways and byways, safe and sound in your holy name. Lord, send the angels down from on high to sit in their lap, Lord Jesus, to guide the car, Lord Jesus, as they come from all over, from the north to the south, east to the west. You bless them, Lord Jesus. And God, we thank you right now in the mighty maximum name of Jesus of Nazareth. We thank you. Oh, God, Lord Jesus, love us, Lord Jesus, and protect us with your blood. Give us more anointing. Bless me with more anointing and more wisdom. Same thing with Pastor Ellis. More wisdom, more knowledge, Lord Jesus. Give them strength, Lord Jesus. In the mighty maximum name of Jesus, you said a man is the head of his household, the priest of his home, Lord Jesus. You said we have not because we ask not, Lord Jesus. And we're asking you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and mercy, Lord. We're asking you for your blessings, Lord Jesus. In the mighty maximum name of Jesus of Nazareth, Lord, bless Pastor Pierce in his church, Lord Jesus, his family, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, Pastor Reed in Solid Rock, Lord Jesus, and his family. Elder Shivers and his family. Elder Simpson and his family. Pastor Albright and his family, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, Lord Jesus, do a sudden work right now. In the mighty maximum name of Jesus of Nazareth, we thank you. Bless Pastor Ellis' kids, grandkids, my grandkids, my wife, Lord Jesus. Give her strength, Lord Jesus. Turn around in the midnight hour, Lord. Psalm 23 said, what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We want everything that you have for us. We don't want nothing that the devil got to offer. You see? What the devil meant for evil, God, you turn it around for our good. Oh, God, do it right now. Bless Dr. Davis. Give her strength, Lord Jesus. Do it for your kingdom, Lord Jesus. Do it right now, Lord Jesus. And God, we ask that you bless this prayer line, my prayer hand ministry. Bless it to go leaps and bounds. Oh, God, send the saints in name by name, one by one. In the mighty maximum name of Jesus of Nazareth, bless Harvest New Life Church. Bless it to go leaps and bounds. The TV show, Lord Jesus, all of it, name by name, one by one. You say, what you bless us with, no man can take from us. When you close the door, no man can open it. When you open the door, man, no man can close it, Jesus. Oh, God, make our stumbling blocks a step on. And God, we thank you right now. You say, out of our belly shall flow rivers of what? Living waters, Lord Jesus. Let your water come in to us, Lord. You say you'll be our bridge over troubled waters. And how we thank you right now, Lord. In the mighty maximum name of Jesus. Sweet Jesus, you're sweeter than any honeycomb in the land. And how, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Lord, we know some been making on to this day, Lord Jesus. But you know, this is the first day my baby brother's up there with you to spend the Easter with, Lord Jesus. And our father, Lord Jesus, who went home to be with you in 2012. Melvin Carter, Lord Jesus, and my baby brother, Stacy Carter, Lord Jesus. Lord, I love them. And Lord Jesus, my baby brother or my father don't even have to suffer no more because they're with you, Lord Jesus. And my father, Lord, too, Lord, because he went home in 2011 to be with you on today, Easter Day, Lord Jesus, when we got that call that my father, Lord, had passed in the name of Jesus, my wife's father. But, Lord, we thank you right now because you don't make no mistakes in nothing. Birth to death is not a mistake. When you're born, it's not a mistake. When you die, it's not a mistake. And, God, we thank you right now. In the mighty maxim name of Jesus of Nazareth. Lord, let the prayers touch the hearts. Lord Jesus, on the prayer line. Lord, the psalm tonight when they lay down, Lord Jesus, let them say, I got to get back on that prayer line. I got to get saved. I got to turn my life around for the good. Some, Lord Jesus, are dealing with domestic violence. Oh, God, some, Lord Jesus, are dealing with a sickness that only you can heal. Lord Jesus. Some kids are incarcerated in colleges. We won't say prison, but we call it colleges. And Lord Jesus, that only you can bless the inmates, Jesus. Lord Jesus, break down that heart of stone and give them the heart of flesh. You can turn evil men's and kings of hearts towards you. Yes, you can, Lord Jesus. And God will thank you. You're a father that sit high and look low. You see all before we do. In the name of Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory to your wonderful, magnificent name. And Lord, I ask that you bless me out of my situation. I decree and declare. I said, Lord Jesus, I want to see the hands of the Lord move. I want to see miracles move on this week, Lord Jesus. I want to see the miracles, Lord Jesus. Oh, taste and see that my God is so good to me. Blesses the man to trust him. In the mighty maxim name of Jesus of Nazareth. And let every heart on this prayer line say, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. God bless you, Francis Carter. It's always good for you to be on the line with us, and you always have a powerful prayer for us. And man of God, we keep you left. Move of you coming up and being a part of us. And we thank you for joining us on this afternoon. Just
thank you, sir.
Dealing with about the power of prayer. And God bless you. Here at Harvest Life Church, Harvest Life Church. Don't forget to join us on Thursday. We have our Tuesday night testimony. Testimony service we have. I want you to come out and be a part of it. And we'll be about it for us in terms of the kingdom. God bless you. God keep you. Thank you for being with us. It's a pleasure. God bless you. Thank you for being part of the show.
God bless you. God bless you.